1 is where we're going to be at tonight. We're going to pick up in verse number 3. Now, we're still in the first day of creation. We have yet to approach the second day. We're still in the first day, and we started on Wednesday night in the first two verses and talked about God creating the heavens and the earth, and how God moved on into the chaos and created order and made everything right. And then in chapter number 3, God creates something that is so unfathomably amazing. I really have a hard time wrapping my mind around it. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3, there say amen. Amen. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the evening, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, I need your help, God, to convey this message the way that you've conveyed it into my heart. I pray, God, that you would help somebody through this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I could go the scientific route here and talk about the sun. And I'll be honest with you, I ain't that smart. But what I do know is apparently the sun is a ball of gases that are constantly exploding and burning. And the result of that are rays of light that are specifically ultraviolet rays of light that are produced and travel all over the universe. Now, you say, "Preacher, that sounds complicated." It is complicated. Here's the most interesting thing to me about the sun. If you have, how many of y'all have ever had a gas heater in your house? Or maybe a gas stove, a furnace of some kind that runs on propane or natural gas. If you have that, to make that burn, you must somewhere have a tank. Y'all remember gas tanks? You'll see that much no more since Piedmont run all these gas lines. But a lot of people still have a gas tank sitting out in their yard. And that tank has a reserve of fuel in it that when placed into that ignition area, it causes a flame to burn. And you know what happens when the gas tank runs out of gas? The flame quits burning. And the heater quits heating. Are y'all with me? Now, I've only ever really looked at the sun one time in my life. And that was when we had a solar, what do you call that? Eclipse. And I put a welding helmet on and I walked out in the yard. I know they said on the news you weren't supposed to do that, but I've done it. And I looked up. I was actually at work. I was delivering to a place and they just happened to have some welding helmets laying there. So I grabbed me one. I said, "It's about time." I walked out and I watched it. And I looked at that thing real good and I inspected it real good, the best that I could in that environment. And there was no gas tank sitting out in the yard. How's it still burning? Now, I'm sure Bill Nye could roll up in here and try to explain this to me, but here's what I want to say. Somebody put enough gas in there where it was going to keep burning until it was time for it to quit burning.
Amen.
Somebody designated a timeline for that thing. Here's what they say, that one day, at some point, the sun is going to burn out. And they talk about that like it's this scientific oddity, miracle that they can't. But I would like to say, just look at your Bible. The Bible tells us that's going to happen. It's going to turn black. And hey, listen, it's going to be over with.
Amen.
That light's pretty amazing. But I don't want you to miss this. The light was not the only thing that was created on this day. The creation of God cannot be bound and simplified into six little sectors. There's a whole lot more detail to this thing than we maybe are able to understand sometimes. But I picked out a few things that I want you to see here that I found interesting. The first thing is this. God, in this first day of creation, God created vision. Notice what your Bible says. The Bible says that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And look at the next verse. And God saw the light.
Amen.
That it was good. Now, two things get proven here. One is that God can see. We already knew that. The prophet said it like this. He's not like them wooden gods that they made with their hands that have eyes, but they see not.
have ears but hear not. All right, listen. Second thing is this. He created a way for us to see. God shined a light on His creation so that our eyes could see. Did you know that your eyeballs don't work without light? Now, again, I hesitate to get too far off into it because two things. Number one, I don't want to talk over nobody's head. Number two, I don't want to talk over my own head. But here's what I know. Your eyeball is not like a movie camera. It is an organ of your body that receives light, refracted at different angles, and turns them into a picture that you can see in your mind. You really don't see with your eyes, you see with your mind. The eye is the entrance of light, but the mind is where the picture is formulated. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
If God had never said, "Let there be light," we would have never been able to see what He could do.
Amen.
If God had never created something that would allow us to get a picture of what He's capable of, even in some small way, then we could have never understood in our minds that what we are in, this existence that we have, is not something that was not created.
Amen.
The Bible says this, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. But you couldn't see it if there wasn't no light shining on it.
Amen.
He gave us vision. He gave us the ability to see creation so that we could see Him.
Amen.
Think about it. How would you ever understand anything about God if you couldn't see His creation? Hear me out here. There are people that cannot see, but they can hear, or they can feel. There's more senses than just seeing. Are you with me?
Amen.
You hear me? Listen now. And if it weren't for somebody who could see, they would never be able to know the Word of God, even so.
Right.
Vision is an integral part to our relationship with God. God could have created this whole thing and Him be the only one that ever got to lay eyes on it. He hadn't created man yet. We're still in day one. But I tell you what He was doing. He was preparing. He was preparing the earth in such a way that man would be able to see His glory. God created vision. Not only that, but I want you to see this. He created division. Look at what your Bible says. He saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Let me say a few things before I say a few things. All right, John? There's some things that just can't be together. Light and darkness cannot coexist. It's either light or dark. There is no darkness. It is the absence of light. Light and darkness are diametrically opposed. And God saw this thing of light that it was good, and this thing of darkness that it was not good is the implication here. Not one time ever in your Bible does the Bible say that God saw darkness and it was good. He saw the light that it was good, and He said, "I need to make a division between this and that which is not good." God, this is what happens to us in the church if we're not careful. People will try to create an environment or convince us that all division and all separation is negative. But I would say to that, you need to read your Bible.
Amen.
The Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I'll be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty."
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. There is a division that is made when a person is saved.
Amen.
There are divisions that must be made in a believer's life. The Bible says that we are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Because those two things can't go together. It doesn't work. That's one of the most frustrating things that I see in church people. How many generations, how many times have we seen that story play out over and over and over again, yet we still think that we're going to be the one that's going to break the mold. We still think that we're going to be the one that's going to marry a lost person and somehow make their life better. I'm telling you, that ain't how it works. It ain't never worked like that. And you say, but preacher, what about this relationship or that relationship? Hey, blind squirrel find acorn every once in a while. That don't make it right. That don't mean it's a good idea. These people that's jumped out of an airplane without a parachute and survived, I wouldn't recommend trying it. There are divisions for a reason, and division is not always bad. Without division, there would be nothing to delineate us from this world. There's going to come a day, listen, when Jesus is going to come in the clouds, and he's going to call the church out. He's going to divide his bride from that which is not his bride. That's a good division, friend. I'm going to be happy on that division day. We created a mindset that says that we got to be able to get along with everybody all the time on everything. Look up in here. Jesus didn't get along with everybody all the time on everything. Matter of fact, he spent a whole lot more time dealing with those who were opposed to him than he did dealing with those who were in line with him.
Amen.
Division is necessary. Had God not divided the light from the darkness, we would be living in a dimly lit environment. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You get God had to divide it so he could accomplish his goal. Say, what was his goal, preacher? I'm getting too ahead of myself. But I like Sunday night because y'all don't get mad at me if I preach 20 minutes. You say, preacher, does anybody, listen, I don't know. Some of y'all like it when I preach long. Some of you like it when I preach short. Some of you like it when I go on vacation and somebody else preaches. So, without division, there would be nothing different in here than there is out there. Something about the church, I fear that the modern day church has such a desire to purport themselves as like the world that they have left the division that exists between the world and the church.
Yes.
When I was lost on my way to hell, and I knew I was lost, and I knew that I needed to be saved, I didn't go to a place that I thought was going to give me the same thing I was getting everywhere else in the world. I went to a place that I knew was going to be different.
Right.
With the people that I knew were going to be different. There's divisions that are necessary. And in creation of that division, God created rest. I know what you're thinking. Well, wasn't that on the seventh day? Now, hold on a minute now. Look what he did here. He created in this first day of creation a special span of time. A division that would happen during each something he called a day. Listen to this. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God created a division here that installed a special span of time where the light would be removed so that we would have the ability to rest. Here's what Jesus said in John 9 verse 4. He said, I must work while it is yet day. For the night cometh when no man can work. The night was not designed for you to work. The night was designed for you to rest. God put this thing in order in such a way that you would have the ability to have a set time in which the work would get done and a set time in which the rest would happen. Jesus gave us over and over and over again throughout the course of his earthly ministry. Jesus showed us what rest was supposed to look like. Many times Jesus went up, we talked about this morning, Jesus getting apart by himself to pray. And many times Jesus was put in a situation where he was looking for rest. He talked about rest. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said that was a gift that he could give you. When Jesus showed up at Jacob's well in John 4, the Bible says he was wearied from his journey, so he sat thus on the well. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that rest has always been the design of God. Listen to this. It is important that we use the day which God has given us to do the work he has set before us, and that we use the night which God has given us to prepare our bodies through rest for the work that God has prepared for us on the next day.
Amen.
This concept is far-reaching beyond just working in the day and sleeping in the night. I talk about this a lot, but this idea of a sabbatical lifestyle, I think, is necessary if we're going to be effective at serving God. Jesus had a sabbatical lifestyle. Jesus took opportunities to get away, and then it recharged him in a way that when he was enthralled into the work, it was more effective. And I believe that a lot of the times the reasons why we get burnt out and wore down and ineffective is because we do not take advantage of the breaks that God has put into this thing for us. If we follow the pattern of God, then on the seventh day, the Bible says every 6 days on the seventh day, we ought to rest. God did it in this creation. We're going to get to that in a few weeks, where God rested on the seventh day. But then Moses went back and said, "Hold up now. Just like God did that, we're going to do that. We're not going to do no work on the seventh day. We're going to take that day as a day of rest. For what purpose? Is it to fulfill our flesh or our laziness? No, it's to recharge our bodies spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally for what is to come in the week ahead. And here's something I find very interesting. Every time the Sabbath comes up, the Bible tells us we're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Are y'all with me? Say amen. But they always had church on the Sabbath. It's almost like this is supposed to be rest. You know why a lot of us are ineffective spiritually from Monday to Friday? It's because we don't get in our resting place on Sunday, where God has designed for us to sit down in his presence and be nourished by his hand.
Amen.
That's what we're doing here. We're not here to put on a show. We're not here to be an educational outlet. We're not here to make anybody happy or unhappy. We are here for the purpose of resting in the Word of God and being fed from the hand of God so that we can be filled in an effective way that gives us what we need to make it through the rest of our days. I wish I could get this across to people. And I feel like sometimes the ones that are faithful are the ones that get this kind of preaching more than anybody, but I reckon that's just the way it's got to be. But I wish I could. I see so many people that are in trouble spiritually. They're in a mess. And they're overwhelmed and they're overrun and they can't catch a break and they feel like everything's messed up. And when I talk to them, I always ask them the same thing. Well, when's the last time you was in church? Did you know that God has designed a place where you can shut the door on all of that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you can just be with him for a little while. And it's amazing what will happen to you if you just get with him for a little while.
Amen.
I'm hung up on this thing about the feeding of the 5,000 right here lately. It's so interesting to me. That little lunch that lad had, y'all know what I'm talking about? Them little three fish and two loaves or whatever it was, how many fish and five loaves that it was. And they gave it to Jesus. And they couldn't do nothing. Why do you think they gave it to him in the first place? Because they couldn't do nothing with it. It wasn't going to work. Even one of the disciples said this. He said, if we had 200 penny worth, which, mind you, they probably didn't. But even if we did, and we spent it all on food, still wouldn't be enough. Right. That is to say, there ain't nothing we can do here. But when they put that thing in Jesus' hands, all of a sudden, it multiplied. All of a sudden, it became more effective. And I tell you what will happen to you if you'll just get with Him every once in a while in the place that He is. Why should we go to church, preacher? Because Jesus it come up with it.
Right.
This church is a good idea because church is God's idea.
Amen.
He designed this thing so that you can come in here and be multiplied to go out and do the work in the day. God designed rest. And some of us are so spiritually and physically overwhelmed in our lives because we have forsaken rest. I tell you something, I'm 34 years old. I got three kids, 8th grade, 3rd grade, 4 years old. You listen to me? Them two that's in grades is homeschooled. You hear me? I got another job during the week. I got other work on the side. My wife's got a business. Are you listening to me? She cleans houses during the week on the side. It takes every bit of that. It takes every bit of that just to survive in 2023. Say, so why are you saying this, preacher? Do you hear me out right here? I know it ain't easy to find a time of rest. I know it's not. I coach a volleyball team. I'm just getting started. Not even to mention the fact that I pastor this church.
Right.
I ain't even got to that yet. That's just assumed. That's not a job. That's my life. I'm telling you, I cannot overemphasize to you how important it is that you adhere to God's design for rest. Most of us are living in an overwhelmed state because we're not doing this thing the way that God said to do it.
Yes. Amen.
Three times, your church has offers 3 times a week. You ought to feel blessed over that right there.
Yeah.
Because you know that we're in an extreme minority at this point.
Yeah.
And you don't think that your pastor's ever sat at home and thought, man, nobody don't want to show up on Sunday night and I'm war slammed out. By the time we get to Sunday night, do we really need to keep? You think I ain't never had that thought? But I tell you what, when I was in your shoes, when I was the one sitting on the pew instead of the one standing behind the pulpit, my church, I was thankful that my church offered 3 services a week because I needed every one of them.
Amen.
Amen. I needed every. I listen, God has laid out for you an abundance of bread.
Yes.
Let's take advantage of it. Let's take advantage of it. And I tell you what will happen to you if you'll do that. You'll start to see those things in the light a whole lot more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
You know why it gets dark? This is, I'm quitting. Hunter's coming to the piano. But you know why it's so important that it gets dark? If you work like third shift, they'll tell you need to get blackout shades and put on your windows and make it real dark. That's so that your eyes can adjust and rest from taking in that light so that they'll be more effective when the light comes back. That's your body is designed to rest. And I want to encourage you tonight. Some of us need to say, you know what? I've been going too hard. I've been doing too much, and I've been forsaking rest in Christ. And I need to renew that tonight. Won't you stand together? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around.
Every head's bowed, every eye's closed.